Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You can hear our show every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And today's topic is Navigating the Amazon Sales Rankings. And our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Brent Sampson of OutskirtsPress.com. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is AuthorsAccess.com. A few announcements before we get started. Starting next week, our podcast will be heard on a new radio station, AuthorsView.com. Please check our website for updates on this. Those of you who are in the Vermont area can meet me in person at the Vermont Veterans Combat Stress Symposium, which is free to the public. For more information, please visit VermontVeterans.com. Tonight we're speaking with Brent Sampson, the CEO of OutskirtsPress.com. Brent will walk us through the bizarre and confusing world of understanding Amazon sales ranks. Some things he'll be talking about: how to find your rank, what Amazon claims the rank means, common myths of the sales rank, tips for increasing your sales rank, and much more. In fact, Amazon itself can be so confusing that I brewed an extra pot of coffee I have sitting right here next to me. Now, Outskirts Press simplifies the publishing process by offering turnkey publishing and marketing packages that combine the best aspects of traditional and independent press. As an award-winning author, poet, speaker, and artist, Brent Sampson understands the mania of the muse and how to infuse success into every creative endeavor. Brent's proficiencies with selling, marketing, publishing, and coaching conspire to launch Outskirts Press, one of the fastest-growing on-demand publishing companies in America, with a growth rate exceeding 30% per month. A publishing company is only as successful as its authors, and as such, Outskirts Press authors earn up to tens of thousands of dollars per month in royalties, thanks largely to the education and coaching available exclusively through their COACH program, which stands for Creative Online Assistance Coaching and Help. The first in a series of marketing coach workbooks written by Brent himself will be published in March, entitled Selling Your Book on Amazon. And we're going to tell you later on in the show how to get a free 14-page ebook sneak peek of the book. And now we're going to go to this week's special guest, Brent Sampson. Good evening to you, Brent.
Hi there, Victor. Thank you very much for that introduction. That was wonderful. So as Victor had indicated earlier, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Amazon this evening, and specifically what the Amazon sales rank means for authors, how to make sense of the Amazon ranking. Now, the Amazon ranking is highly proprietary, and that means that Amazon does not divulge the secrets behind how it makes its rankings from book sales. So what it takes to analyze and dissect that Amazon sales ranking then is just some analysis of sales figures, some book sales, and a lot of trial and error and tracking. I'm in a unique position as the president of a publishing company where I can look at book sales, at actual book sales numbers on Amazon, and compare those book sales numbers to Amazon sales figures for thousands of books. And that gives me a little bit of some knowledge, behind-the-scenes knowledge, of being able to extrapolate some meaning to the Amazon sales rank, and that's what I'm going to share during this podcast here. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what that means, let's talk about where the sales figure is located. It's located on the sales page, or the Amazon Book Detail page. And that's the page that Amazon creates to sell each book. And it's in the product details section, so where you see the actual page count of the book and the publisher of the book and the ISBN number, that section of the book detail sales page is where you'll see the average Amazon sales rank. Now, a little background on the Amazon sales rank. It changed in about 2004. In the fourth quarter of 2004, the way in which Amazon determined the ranking of a book changed. Up until 2004, Amazon had what they called a relaxation rank, or a statistically averaged rank. And that kept the average, or the sales rank, from bouncing all over the place, as it's apt to do now. So a book sale might push that ranking up higher, or a lack of sales might have that ranking decrease. But at the end of a day or the end of the cycle, Amazon would reset that sales rank to a particular setting, and that would keep the numbers relatively more static. Now it doesn't do that. So after 2004, it's gone to this new ranking system where it doesn't reset or recalibrate its numbers. Those numbers will change only if a book sells, or only if books that are around it sell more or less than its book. And what that means is the ranking is relative. So a ranking of 100,000 in no way relates to the sales figures of a book. A book does not sell 100,000 copies if it has a ranking of 100,000. It's actually quite the opposite. The higher a sales rank number is, the less successful that book is, and that means the less copies that book is selling. Now, in order for a book to have a ranking at all, it needs to sell at least one book. So you may come across a book on Amazon that has an Amazon sales rank figure of none, N-O-N-E. And what that means is Amazon has the information for the book, but Amazon has not sold a copy of the book yet. So once Amazon sells a copy of a book, then that Amazon sales rank number is applied to that book. And no two books can have a identical Amazon sales rank at the same time. Now, another change that happened in 2004 is the time frame in which the ranking is recalculated. Now, every book on Amazon is recalculated every hour. And since there are so many products and so many books specifically on Amazon, what that really means is the Amazon a logarithm that calculates these sales rankings is just running 24 hours a day. So it's not on a clock. You can't look at midnight and assume that every book on Amazon will flip over at 12:01. That's not how it works. But in any given hour span of time, the Amazon ranking is going to change to reflect that activity within that hour. Amazon's own interpretation of its ranking is interesting. It has a FAQ, and the FAQ that's on Amazon is really short about what the Amazon sales ranking means. And I find the particularly last sentence really interesting. They say, "We hope you find the Amazon.com sales rank interesting." and so it's not supposed to be informative or educational. It's supposed to be edutainment, basically. And that's really a really good way to look at what the Amazon sales ranking is. These are not figures that are set in stone. What I'm going to tell you during the course of this talk is not set in stone. It's not concrete in any way. All I can do is extrapolate from the research that I've done on the Amazon sales ranking to try to give estimates on what these sales figures mean, and even estimates on how these rankings are calculated in the first place, because we don't know. But Amazon certainly isn't talking, and they don't want to give too much weight or power to even what these rankings mean, and that's why they say, "We hope you find these sales rankings interesting." They certainly are, and they certainly cause a lot of excitement for people who have a sales rank figure climb, because there's no doubt about it that in some manner there is an association between the ranking of a book and its success. I don't think anybody doubts that when a Harry Potter book reaches number one on Amazon, that J.K. Rowling is adding to her pocketbook. I mean, that's distinctly happening. So as books sell, that ranking will climb. And that means it will go from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 to 1. The difficulty arises in trying to determine what exactly a ranking of one means in terms of books sold. And that's difficult because the ranking is dynamic and it's also relative. So when Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows comes out this summer and it has a sales ranking of one, which it will, it's probably selling a hell of a lot more books than the book that had a ranking of one, you know, yesterday or today. So a sales ranking of one doesn't mean a level has been reached. There's not a ceiling or a threshold that defines the eclipse of a ranking of two to the ranking of one. That's not how it works. So a book can have a ranking of 1 in any given hour if it sells 100 copies in that hour. It just is relative to how many copies of another book sold in relationship to that first book. Now, that's also not all that's involved in the calculation of an Amazon sales ranking. There's also what's called a historic trajectory. And that means Amazon's going to look at the average ranking of that book over a longer period of time. To some extent, this also helps explain a phenomenon book. And I think a lot of us may be familiar with what phenomenon books are or the Amazon bestseller campaign. We've heard about this maybe when we're looking at internet marketing for our own books. And this is the concept of getting a lot of people to buy your book all within a very small window of time, like typically a day. And if a lot of people buy the same book within a very short period of time, that can catapult an Amazon sales ranking up into bestseller status. That's the gist behind this campaign and this tactic that is promoted. Certainly not promoted or endorsed by Amazon, but is promoted and endorsed by book marketing professionals and publicists. And it works, but it's a phenomenon. And what that means is it will have a sales spike. It will go up from 500,000 or 100,000 up into the top 100 or the top 50 or in some rare cases even into the top 10. And then it will decline again. Its sales ranking will decay. And the rate of that decay is based upon the sales trajectory and the sales average of the book. So that's why you don't see a phenomenon ranking maintaining its phenomenal rank for very long, because those 100 people who bought the book all at the same hour is enough to launch it above every other book activity in that specific hour, but is not enough to maintain an average sales ranking in relationship to all the other books that are legitimately holding that spot, and those spots in the top 10 or even in the top 100 or 100,000. So that's kind of how a phenomenon book ranking works. So
Francis, I went online here and I'm looking at my own book, and so the lowest number would be the amount of books are actually on Amazon for sale. Is that, or the highest number, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Like, am I being clear? So a number is like in the millions. Does that mean how many books there are that Amazon is selling?
Yes. You can find books with a ranking exceeding 3 million. That means that Amazon has a sales ranking number for over 3 million books. And if you find a book that has a ranking of over 3 million books, that means that that book has sold on Amazon in order to qualify for a number, but it has probably only sold one. It's probably maybe sold its warehouse consignment copy or one particular special order copy that Amazon ordered one at a time as a result of receiving that order. Most books that fall within the 2 million to 3 million range are print-on-demand books, although print-on-demand books certainly perform way better than that also, but rarely would you see a book from Random House or McGraw-Hill falling within that type of range, and that's typically because those publishers will pre-sell books, so by the time the book is actually even really available for sale on Amazon, it will have already acquired a sales ranking, you know, much, much higher than 2 million or 3 million. So that's a long-winded answer to your question. The short-winded answer is yes. That shows the number of books that are on Amazon.
Well, I'm glad I'm on the 3 million. So you had just mentioned, Brent, about pre-sales. So pre-sales actually do count towards the ranking.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and another difference between the change in the Amazon ranking in 2004, pre-2004 and post-2004, is that e-books and marketplace books also affect the ranking now, whereas they didn't before. And that's just because so many more formats are being introduced and so many different vendors are starting to sell books. So when you go to a marketplace section on Amazon, and there's a lot of confusion about how books get on the marketplace section or what the marketplace section even means, and this is a whole chapter, a whole section that I devote to in the book that's coming out, is what marketplace really means and how some authors can leverage that whole different existence. And I like to compare Marketplace to eBay. Marketplace is just really a forum in which either individuals or other businesses can list and sell books that they have, or in some cases even that they don't yet have. And now Marketplace will also apply to Amazon sales rank numbers.
Ah, okay. So Marketplace is where, you know, that's interesting because I just wanted to tell you an experience that I had recently. I went to Marketplace and I bought my own book because I wanted to see exactly what was happening. Well, it was interesting because it actually came from my local area here, and it was autographed. So I called the people, and of course they were totally embarrassed, but I was wanting to do the tracking. And what had happened was that they were moving out of the country, and they donated it, and somebody had picked it up and was selling it. But then I went and bought another book, and sure enough, it was a brand new book that came, and it took 2 weeks before they shipped it to me, so I'm assuming it was one that was not printed yet, and after they got the order, they printed it. Am I assuming that correctly?
Yep, that's absolutely right. If the book is print-on-demand, and that happens more often than not for print-on-demand books specifically as it relates to marketplaces, those marketplace vendors will be using the marketplace section as a forum in which to promote and publicize their own companies. So they usually have book listings for just about every book that is distributed via EDI, which stands for Electronic Data Interchange, and that's just a direct feed through Ingram and Baker and Taylor. So these people know that books that are distributed through those wholesalers on a print-on-demand basis can be turned around in about 24 hours. So in a lot of cases, they will list that they have the book just to promote their companies, and then if they actually ever do receive an order, they can turn around and order that book just as Amazon would and then ship it out to the consumer. Or in some cases, what I've heard that they also do is they find that it's more trouble than it's worth to actually fulfill the order for the amount of money that they're going to make on it. So then they send an email to the consumer saying that book is no longer available, or that book is out of inventory, or that book is out of stock. And that's sometimes where the confusion arises, because then the consumer will go, well, that's a print-on-demand book. Why would that book be unavailable? It's never supposed to be out of stock. It's not that it's unavailable. It's that the marketplace vendor is choosing not to fulfill the order for personal reasons, usually profitable reasons. But that doesn't prevent them from still using the marketplace as a forum in which to advertise their own businesses. And in most cases, that's because they do sell other products and other books where there is a higher profit margin, and it's worth using the lower profit margin books just to publicize their existence.
Very interesting. Those, for instance, in my case, I bought those two books. One was used, one was brand new. That would affect the ranking, the sales
ranking.
Both
of those would affect the ranking, yep. Because it's still an activity that takes place on Amazon. I mean, Amazon as a merchandising engine, as an engine of sales, is unparalleled. The things that it does behind the scenes is Orwellian in nature, and that's, you know, referring to George Orwell in 1984, the book. It's almost frightening to some extent, if you let it be frightening, the amount of information that Amazon is tracking all the time for every user. So it certainly knows when a book is purchased from Marketplace, whether it's new or used, and whether it comes from the actual, quote-unquote, real Amazon stock. And all of those sales contribute to that book's activity, and in some regard, that contributes to that book's exposure. So the more books that a particular book sells, the more Amazon thinks that book is popular, and that leads itself to a whole virtuous circle of success on Amazon. But certainly the marketplace listings are included in that ranking, yes.
Yeah, Brent, I've got a question. I just surfed down over to Amazon, and, you know, I clicked down to the genre of mystery and thrillers. Now, is it true that if my book achieves a certain rank that it will just automatically show up on the mystery and thrillers, or is there like editorial decisions or people actually paying for placement on these pages? Do you have any ideas?
Now, first of all, let me answer your question by first understanding it. When you say you're down in the mysteries and thrillers, are you way near the bottom of your sales page where it's listing like the categories and the subjects?
No, I started from the top of Amazon.com. I clicked on books, and then I clicked on mystery and thrillers.
Okay, so you're looking at particular functionality that's pretty much from Amazon. It's extrapolated against its own search rankings. So rather than typing in into the search box mysteries and thrillers,
right.
you're clicking on what they've already subcategorized as mystery and thriller. But the results is basically the same. It's just rather than making you type that, it's coming up and giving you the top search mysteries and thrillers. Now let me ask you a question. On that results, along the upper right-hand corner, is it showing you whether or not that listing is based upon relevance or best-selling?
Well, it says we got new and notable. And then we down below we got a featured title. And okay, here we are. Top sellers updated hourly.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess if my mystery was high enough rank, let's see what the top selling mystery is today. It's called Step on a Crack, which I haven't heard of. But then again,
And that's what there are two ways that the search engine works for Amazon. One is based upon the relevancy of the search term. And the other is based upon the best-selling status of the search term in that given hour, and that's looking exactly at the ranking of the book. So if you type in mystery thrillers, you can either organize those search results by rank, which would be best-selling for that hour, or by the relevancy. And those two results will differ depending upon what Amazon knows about the book. And obviously, the more it knows about the book, the more accurate and relevant those results are going to be.
Yeah, okay. I can see this book is actually number 15 overall, so it deserves to probably be in that slot right now. You mentioned relevancy, that pinged something in my brain. I started using the make search suggestions. Do you find that that's helping people a lot?
Everything is relatively new on Amazon, but even in the scope of the relative newness of this company, the make search suggestion is relatively new. It's just within the past year or so, or even less. So it's too soon to really say whether or not that is having much effect. It's certainly a tactic that I heavily recommend to everybody because the Amazon search engine, I mean, it's still a computer, even though we like to refer to it maybe as something more than that, an entity almost. It still only knows what you tell it. So that's really the benefit of the make a search suggestion is you're just giving it more data, and the more data a computer has, the more accurate it's going to be. Whether or not it really can result in moving a book that doesn't deserve to be high into a higher spot, that's really the question. So.
Yeah. Okay, great. Now I'm going to hit you with a tough question, which is one that everybody asks me, and who knows if anyone knows the answer. How does Amazon set the sale prices on titles? It seems to randomly appear and disappear, and one week it's 10% off, and next week it's 40. And do you have any ideas?
Sure. Are you asking about the discounted sales prices?
Yeah, like the sales price on new books sold, not through Marketplace, but off of the Amazon.
Okay. There are a couple ways that works. The first is going to be derived on the margin that Amazon makes on the book. And that margin varies pretty widely. If Amazon is contacting Ingram directly, which they have a direct computerized feed with Ingram wholesalers, then their margin is going to be a little bit less than if they contacted the printer or the publisher directly, because Ingram needs to take a piece of the margin. Now, what Amazon has started to do is they've started to work with printers and publishers directly. So if they get large enough orders for certain books, they can request that those books come straight from the printer or straight from the publisher. So since the publisher is bypassing Ingram or Baker & Taylor and Amazon is bypassing the middleman, Ingram or Baker & Taylor, then their margin for a particular book can be higher. So and the odd thing is that Amazon will take either of those ordering tactics for the same book, depending upon how many they need. So if they have enough margin working directly with the publisher to give a 32% discount, then that's what they'll do for the inventory that they picked up from the publisher in order to unload that number of books. And then if they don't get enough activity or interest or or orders for that same exact book, they might turn around, but they get some, but just not as much, they might turn around and make that next order through Ingram. And as a result of that, they might only have enough of a margin to have a 22% margin for those books. So
right.
that's one way, and probably the most demonstrative way in which the discount is affected by the same book with the same retail price over a course of time.
Cool. I'd like to remind our listeners that they're listening to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Tonight's topic is Navigating the Amazon Sales Ranks, and our special guest this hour is Brent Sampson. Starting the week of February, next week is March, will be heard on the new radio station, AuthorsView.com. Please check our website for updates. Now, Brent, I had another question. The famous buy X, get Y stuff, do you have any idea how it determines, you know, what book it will pair with my book to say, you know, buy both of these and have a better deal?
Yep. Boy, it's a good thing that I wrote this book that's coming out in March, because I needed to do all of this research
away
for this call. Yeah, I know a lot about Buy X, Buy Y. You're right. It's the BXBY program, which is a very difficult and inarticulate thing to say. So I just usually call it the co-op program or the paid placement program. And just a little background on what this is for those who haven't heard of it. This is really a way that you can advertise a book by associating your book with another book that's performing better than yours. I mean, obviously, you could pick any book you want, but the only advantage would be if you associated your book with a book that was performing better. On the sales page, there is a section that's either titled Better Together or Best Value. And if the section is titled Better Together, then your book will appear next to another book that Amazon's algorithm has determined is the best. And if you happen to be looking at an Amazon sales page, you can see exactly how it determines what that paired book is going to be. It shows up almost immediately below it in a section called Customers Who Bought This Item Also Bought. And that section lists the five titles in addition to your book that would interest a potential user who is looking at your book detail sales page. And more often than not, and probably 100% or certainly the majority of the time, unless there's, you know, a drastic shift in the sales numbers, the top book that appears on that list is also the paired book in your Better Together section. Now, the second way that a category can be listed for the BXBY, that's Buy X, Buy Y program, or Get Y program, is the best value. And that's when a person has actually participated in this paid placement program. And you participate by paying Amazon either $750 or $1,000 for a month's period of time in which your book is paired next to a book of your choice. And that's exactly what it is at that point you can choose which book is going to be paired next to yours. And you would want to do that by doing both a relevancy search and a best-selling search and find the best book choice that is both as highly ranked as possible and as relevant as possible to yours. The ranking obviously means that more people are going to be seeing that book sales page, and the relevancy means they're also going to be interested in your book. Now, whether or not that book appears on your book sales page is really not the point. The point is your book appears on that highly ranked book's book sales page, and that's where it's valuable, because the people who are buying that highly ranked book, which is selling way more copies than yours, they're going to see a best value discount, and they're going to go, I get a 5% discount if I buy this book, which I was already going to buy, and if I buy this other book, which, you know, I've never heard of, but it, based upon its title, it looks valuable to me. So then they buy both. They might not even actually ever go visit your book sales page at all, but they've put your book into their shopping cart because of the discount and because of the relevancy of your book in relationship to the book they were planning on buying anyway. So that's how the book is paired. It's either paired by you choosing it or paired by the Amazon's algorithm of what books people usually buy instead of or in addition to yours.
Great. I feel like I actually understand how that works now. So that's
oh, good. I was hoping that I wasn't too confusing.
Now, let's talk a little bit about blogs and discussion things. The Amazon Connect was launched with a lot of fanfare, I think, about a year ago. I'm just wondering if you've seen people turn their Amazon blogs into successful sales or use the customer discussions in any way.
Yeah, there's an upside and a downside to both of those tactics, and the downside is that it's time-consuming. And I think any of us who have done a lot of internet marketing, I mean, there are definitely advantages to be found and avenues to traverse where things are successful. But on the other hand, you have to be very careful about that because you might find yourself all of a sudden investing an inordinate amount of time on something which seems productive on the surface, and the reason it's productive on the surface is because you're typing, you must be doing something productive, but in reality, nothing's really transpiring that's producing money in your pocket, and the internet is full of black sinkholes like that. So the efficacy of a blog and the consumer and the customer discussions is would really depend upon the book, the author, and the personality of the author. So I've seen some authors who use the blog successfully to communicate more information. Some authors use it as a sounding board to do everything from telling them their own personal stances on politics and all of those things that has nothing to do with books. And other people use it as a way of providing untethered and uncensored additional information about their book. One of the advantages of a blog on Amazon is that it's not censored as highly as the synopsis information. Synopsis information for your book may be provided by the publisher, or you may have provided it when you joined the Amazon Advantage program. And it's a real hassle to change. And it has to match the book's in print listing in most cases, otherwise they ignore it. You know, they ignore changes entirely. The blog, on the other hand, is very easy to modify and adjust and add to, and that's really the appropriate use of the blog is to complement and supplement your book listing program. And if you do that in a way that is professional and constantly drives the user to view you as an authority and an expert in your field and also demonstrate your proficiency with the English language, then a blog in that manner can be actually very, very effective. Another advantage to the blog is that it opens up another portal to the author profile page, which is accessible through the Amazon Connect account. And if your Amazon author profile page is robust and comprehensive and professional, then that's kind of a 1-2 punch in terms of really increasing a buyer's confidence in your ability as a writer. And then everybody knows that people buy nonfiction books from experts and people buy fiction books from branded authors. And a branded author is, of course, like Stephen King or J.K. Rowling or Dan Brown, somebody who has gone into a niche and found success there. So when you're looking for a horror book, you don't really necessarily care what the title of a Stephen King book is, and that's why Stephen King is always bigger than the title, and that's how people buy fiction. So your author profile page and your blog would always want to fully support and endorse one of those two tactics, either creating an authority figure for yourself as an expert for nonfiction or branding yourself in a particular category for fiction.
Brent, as I was, when you first started talking, I went to Amazon and looked at my ranking, and then I did a refresh just a few minutes ago, and it's like, oh, this doesn't look good. So, it's obviously I just lost some sales ranking, but so how can I change that?
it's dropped in the amount of time that I'm speaking. One thing that tells me is I've been speaking too long.
I need to change it. How am I going to do it?
So how do you turn around a sales ranking? So that doesn't necessarily mean that your books had some come back. That just means that, you know, the books that were in between the ranking that you were at and the ranking that you're now at, there was some activity there in that little area. One or two of those books may have sold a book or so. I wouldn't worry too much about it. We get questions about the sales ranking all the time. When authors first get published, they are very attuned to the sales rank. They want to see that number climb, and when it doesn't, they're very upset. And when it does, they're ecstatic. And both emotional responses are a little bit premature for the same reason. And that is exactly kind of the disclaimer that I said at the beginning of this call, which is it's hard to really make a lot of sense out of something that doesn't make sense. You know, at Amazon's own admission, they're not saying that this is factual information. They're just saying that it's interesting information. So the first piece of advice and answer to your question would be to not worry about it too much. But there are tactics that you can take to increase your sales ranking. We talked about the blogs. That's certainly something that could be done. A really effective thing to do is to write reviews for other books in your category. And make sure that your signature file is conducive to selling your book. My signature file says something along the lines of Brent Sampson, President, CEO of OutskirtsPress.com. So that does two things simultaneously and very succinctly. It establishes my expertise in this realm, I hope, as a president of a publishing company. So I have a background in helping people be successful with writing and publishing and promoting their books. And it lists my domain name and our publishing company name at OutskirtsPress.com. So when I write a review, that information is a part of the review, because the way Amazon recognizes and attributes participation is by listing that signature. And that's a signature that you define and fill out within your author profile page by signing into your Author Connect account. So if you've created an author profile page and you've created a signature that you're happy with, then you should write some reviews. And the more reviews you write, the more your signature is propagated throughout Amazon and the more exposure you get. And you, what your hope would be is that people find your signature file so interesting, or they find the way that you wrote the review so interesting or helpful that they might click on your link to get more information about you as the author or as a person who wrote that review. They'd go to your author profile page, they'd learn about your book, they'd see your bibliography, maybe one of them would strike their fancy, and they'd go and buy it based upon the proficiency that you demonstrated in your review with writing something that was helpful to them. So I strongly always encourage that people write reviews for books in their subject matter and category. And that last part is very important. You don't necessarily want to write Victor, like for your book in thriller or mysteries, you might not necessarily want to write a book, a review of a cookbook, for example, but you might want to write reviews for books by Dan Brown or by Stephen King or even by Harry Potter, because all of those in some far-out manner do fit within, you know, the subgenre or the overall genre of your category, and all of those books, without stepping over my bounds too far, an assumption would probably be ranked higher than yours. So if your signature file is on those highly ranked books, even in the review section, you might get some clicks because they like what you had to say about those highly ranked books, and then they might visit yours.
You know, that's a really good point, and I just wanted to sort of sidetrack to reviews, and you're talking about the authors writing the reviews and having their signature. I just want to kind of sidetrack and talk about reviews and get your viewpoint on how important it is to get reviews for a book on Amazon.
It's very, very important. It's very important. I can't even stress that enough. You want as many reviews as you can get, and you want five-star reviews. Five-star reviews and four-star reviews, those are okay. Unfortunately, the minute you start getting into three and twos, those are kind of a wash. They're not even all that great. And two and one-star reviews, one-star reviews in particular, those are damaging to you, so you would want to do whatever you can to avoid getting a one-star review. Usually, people who write one-star reviews have a particular emotional response to your book, and an emotional response is not necessarily always an objective one. So, in that case, you might have success in contacting Amazon and pleading your case. And you would want to do that in a very professional and diplomatic manner and say, you know, this one-star review is, don't use the word emotional, because that is what it is, but that's not a good argument. But the gist is, you would say, this one-star review is emotional, and I ask that you consider removing it. And Amazon has been known from time to time to remove reviews that they find to be not fair. Their whole point is to be fair. So a one-star review might be have been written by a competitor of yours, or somebody who you upset, or any number of things that, you know, they're just using the review as a forum in which to, quote-unquote, get back at you. So that would be a tactic to explore to get rid of one-star reviews, and I would recommend doing that if you ever got one. But you definitely want to get as many reviews as you can from people. And Amazon controls the way that people get reviews. People have to buy something from Amazon in order to have an account that allows them to write a review. And that does two things. One, it forces them to buy something from Amazon. Let's not forget that Amazon is in the business to make money. But more importantly, it prevents people from creating fake reviews. It would be the easiest thing in the world to just sign in under different names and write all five-star reviews, you know, for your own book. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending upon your point of view, Amazon really makes that difficult to do because you have to have a unique credit card number, and you have to buy something from Amazon with that credit card number, and it's looking at your billing address. So it's doing all of these verification stage steps to make sure that people aren't doing that. They aren't creating pseudonyms or other fake people in order to spruce up their own five-star reviews. So it's kind of a protection mechanism and a checks and balances that Amazon has employed. But the short answer is yes, you want as many reviews as possible.
Well, and that's certainly, I'm glad to hear that you're saying that. Now, you are writing a book next month. That's going to be available.
Yep. It's coming out imminently. So it's called Sell Your Book on Amazon. And in addition to the sales ranking, which was the idea behind this thing, we've gotten into a lot of the other elements that are covered in more thorough detail in this book, including all of the tactics to sell your book on Amazon. That's what the title is, and it gets into a lot of the details that we've covered.
Mm-hmm. And you have written other books also.
I have. I have a book called Publishing Gems, Insider Information for the Self-Publishing Writer, and that's filled with it's really a quick read. It's big fonts, you know, lists, numbered lists. People like lists. So this is more of a handbook of, you know, the top 10 things you would want in your press release and the top 4 things to do to make sure that, you know, your book doesn't have any grammatical errors in it and all of that stuff. And then the other book that I've written in the same genre is Self-Publishing Simplified, which is really a handbook more or less for our company and how we help authors publish their books and then get their books listed and sold profitably on Amazon and BarnesNoble.com and a lot of other retailers. So in terms of self-publishing and helping writers either write, promote, or publish their books, those are the three that kind of fall into that category that I've written or have written in the case of Sell Your Book on Amazon, which isn't quite out yet, but will be next month.
It will be next month, not very far from now. So since we're talking about ranks, how did you find your books in the ranking system? Were you happy with what was happening? Were you able to get enough information to see what was really happening? Because you obviously, being the author but also the publisher, knew what actually was happening. So let's just talk about that area.
It's it's never going to be as high as you want it to be.
of course.
And I think we've all kind of looked at our sales ranking during the course of this call, and you're like, why isn't my ranking higher? And what it really comes down to for every author, regardless of where they published, I mean, the author who publishes at Random House runs into this problem just as much as the author who publishes at Outskirts Press or any other publisher, and that is if you don't do anything, nothing happens. So there will be a time where I'm really devoting to promoting the book, and I'm really working on that, and I'm doing all the tactics I say I should do, and I do everything that I talk about in my book that I'm about to publish, and all of those things are coming together, and it's a wonderful thing, and you see the sales rank climb pretty substantially as a result of that effort. But then I get sidetracked, and I have to write another book, or I have to, you know, do some publishing stuff and have a real job like everybody else, and I don't get to concentrate as much on promoting the book. And as a result of that, the sales number starts to decline. So that's the nature of things. You put into it what you hope to get out of it, and books to some extent will find a happy place on Amazon based upon their own exposure. One of a large majority of the overall tactics that I talk about in Sell Your Book on Amazon that's coming out is how to create exposure for the book. So you put in a lot of effort up front with the writing of the reviews and the generation of the blog and creating a signature that you're really happy with and enhancing your book detail page and your author profile. I talk about how to do all of that stuff. And it's a lot of effort. But the idea behind it is okay, now that that's in existence and it's there on Amazon, hopefully it's generating enough exposure for the book that the actual engine on Amazon is going to start to fulfill itself, and that's the virtuous circle that I talked about. Amazon rewards popularity. Amazon rewards best-selling books. They show up higher on the ranking. So a book that has a sales ranking that results in, you know, a search result of 4, 5, or 6 out of a million, people are more apt to click on that book. And if you're more apt to click on the book, you're more apt to buy it. And as a result of that, it's going to maintain that sales ranking and that search result placement just by the very nature of itself. And once you get a book kind of that's fulfilling its own prophecy that way, then that's really when you have a book that's, you know, kind of hanging out in the 1,000 to 2,000 range or even in the 500 to 600 range. And to have a book hang out in that range, it's pretty good.
Oh, no kidding. So one more question, and then we're going to have to close this. Unfortunately, we can go on and on, I'm sure. So how do I find out how many books were sold through Amazon? I want to know exactly how many of my book was sold. Is there a way I can find out?
I guess it depends upon where you got your book published. Okay. If you have an Amazon Advantage account, you may be able to talk to your Amazon Advantage accounts representative, and they may tell you the sales figures that come in a particular period of time. Most books that are sold on Amazon are handled by a third party, either through Ingram or a wholesaler, and those figures would probably then be delivered to the publisher, and the publisher would then provide you with information, not necessarily just from Amazon, but from all of the sales figures that they received from Ingram. So I know in the case of Outskirts Press, for our books that are sold on Amazon, we get those sales figures combined with books that are sold on BarnesandNoble.com and Pals.com and BooksAMillion.com and all of the retailers that we distribute books through, through this relationship that we have with Ingram. So Ingram gets those orders, they handle those orders, but we just get a wholesale channel figure for a particular day or for a particular month. And to some extent, that's a privacy policy that's in place from Amazon. Amazon doesn't really release that information per se.
Mm-hmm.
So they might give you a figure depending upon how you publish the book, but they wouldn't be able to tell you like the name and address of the person who bought it.
Right.
You could also try the Ingram iPage account, which should theoretically tell you how many Amazon sold.
Right, and there's a phone number.
I've never tried it.
So, Brent, you also, now earlier Victor had mentioned that you have a free 14-page sneak peek ebook that is available. So let's talk about how the listeners can get this sneak peek.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I've created a page on our website. It's at outskirtspress.com/Brent Sampson, and that's all lowercase. Brent Sampson is all lowercase in one word. So outskirtspress.com/Brent Sampson will take you to a page that we've created on the Outskirts Press website that talks about the launching of the book. There's a little bio of me and then information about the book that's coming out in March. And all we need them to do is put in their name and their email address, and they'll be notified when the book is out. But also on that page is a link that lets them open up a PDF file. We put together about 13 pages right from the front of the book so they can see the foreword by Dan Poynter. They can see the table of contents. They can see the introduction about Amazon and about the tactic ranking system. What I've done with this book is I've kind of taken a page from Amazon, as it were, and applied 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, and 2-star reviews of the tactics and the techniques that I actually talk about in the book.
Well,
so
cute.
You're able to see, okay, here's a 5-star tactic. This is one that's really worth my taking the time to do. Or here's a 3-star tactic. This one may or may not, you know, pay for itself based upon the amount of time and effort that it's going to take. So I'm hoping that by ranking the tactics in that manner, people can really get a lot of value out of the book quickly. So they can go to Brent Sampson, or I'm sorry, outskirtspress.com/Brent Sampson and get that free sneak peek. And also, if they want, they can be notified when the book comes out. We're going to do a launch for it, and I wish I had a date, but I don't, because I would hate to say a date and not have it ready. you never want to do that, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be in March because it's so close to being done, so I'm very excited.
Gosh, this has been really great, Brent. Yeah, at the beginning I just kind of was wondering if we're going to, what we're going to talk about, and here it's like we have to close up, and I'm sure that there's still things we can talk about. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming online and talking, giving us this wonderful information. There's always a lot of confusion. I belong to a self-publishers forum, and there's always a lot of confusion about the ranks, and everybody has their own opinion as to how it really works. So I'm really glad that you were able to come on and clarify and really let us know how this works. Thanks.
I enjoyed being here. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. You can hear us every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we'll be back on the air next week when our topic will be working with independent publishers, and our special guest who will be joining us is Bob Gussin of Ocean View Publishing. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson of Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.